Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMO at a few minutes past 4 p.m. So very strange day for everyone. And just to kind of, since you guys are a part of this show, just to kind of let you in on where our head is at. So if you're just tuning in and you missed the news at the top of the hour, conservative analyst, pundit, activist Charlie Kirk was shot in the neck when he was doing a program at a university in Utah, surrounded by students, hundreds if not a thousand students. Seen him do this many times before. I've watched pretty lengthy segments of what he does. I never agreed with anything Charlie said, but I respected the fact that he had dialogue and that he invited people to have dialogue with him. We don't quite know what to do with our hands. I think it's a little too early to be having discussions about gun control, the people on the right are crazy, people on the left are crazy. A man of the family just died. I think we let that settle in for a moment. I will say this, and I'm not saying this because it's the right thing to say. I'm not saying this because it's the politically correct thing to say. I'm saying it because I mean it, because I believe in this strongly, that to have the kind of country we want, the kind of country that we deserve, speaking your mind cannot be a death sentence, regardless of what it is you have to say. Right, Wheels?
Couldn't agree more. Words should not lead to, and again, discussions of all things need to happen. And what we've got to get, I mean, there's no easy way out of it, because what's needed is more calm, not more of this. Because now if you feel like you're going to get over by escalating, well, then that's just going to lead to another escalation. We need the people that lead to calm things down and fix it. Because we have a place now where you've got one group of people calling the other fascist all the time. And the other, that group of people is calling the other people socialists all the time. And then you're a brown shirt and you're a pedophile and both sides calling each other evil. If you don't stop doing that, if leaders don't lead and they don't stop that, it breeds this type of environment.
Yeah.
So leaders need to lead. Now, the leaders didn't shoot Charlie Kirk, but they have to do a better job of calming things down rather than ramping it up.
Yeah. So typically at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday, we would have Matt Pauly from the sports department, but Matt's a little under the weather. I understand he'll be back tonight.
He is tonight for Redbird Rush Hour, yes.
Good, yeah. Good. Glad he's feeling better. So we have our pal Nate Gattard joining us. Nate, welcome back to the show. And before we jump into the Cardinals, you're a smart young guy. Just any thoughts on the happening today?
Well, you know what? I think you guys are on the right track there. My first thought is that very, very few, if anybody, in our country is actually going to benefit from an anarchical society. And it's not in anybody's best interest to feel that they're under physical threat of harm or death for political beliefs. Like you said, I don't think it's the time necessarily yet to talk in big picture. But at the same time, I think we can at least start from the place that anybody deserves to be able to function without fear of not being able to go home at the end of the day. And although you can certainly disagree with anyone who's putting themselves out there politically, and certainly Charlie Kirk did that, I think very, very few, if any, people actually benefit from a society that increasingly rips itself apart because it can't work out its differences through anything other than serious political violence. And I hesitate to think of any society in world history that has benefited from internal political violence on a broad scale. So I hope that we can pull ourselves out of what feels like a race to the bottom, kind of in the way Wheels was saying, that generally escalation is just going to beget further escalation.
It would be nice to think that this could be a moment when we could come together reasonably and use our brains. Obviously, with Donald Trump being shot and then another attempt on his life, those were very big moments. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there's something about this. I'm not sure why, but there's just something about this. Obviously, Charlie was a polarizing figure, and people, you know, on the opposite side are already saying terrible things on social media. I do not agree. I don't support that. And Nate, I appreciate you giving your thoughts there. So let's pivot weirdly, awkwardly, and let's talk about sports. Yesterday, Wheels, you were asking Bernie, I think, who you thought had earned a position next year, who had not earned their position next year. So, Nate, I'll throw that at you.
I don't know that anyone has earned a position next year. I think it's a question of who has changed their value. I would be surprised if Chaim Bloom is going into the offseason thinking there's a single person who has secured anything on this roster. Not because he's going to send Mason Wynn down to Memphis next year or something like that, but just because I would think with the roster that he's inheriting, and Wheels and I have talked about this, I've talked about it with Bernie some as well on the air, that Chaim is taking over, I think, a roster that's interesting, that has a good amount of quality on it. Certainly a lot of guys on and just off of the major league roster who I would consider major league quality players. It doesn't have a lot of upper echelon major league talent on it, but there are a lot of guys who are at least respectable, deserving major leaguers on this team. It's a question of how the talent, how the human resources of the roster, if you will, are allocated, and whether the roster fits together in a way that makes sense. Obviously, right now it doesn't, but I think as a result, this is going to be a very busy offseason, not only in terms of potential free agent acquisitions, but in terms of trades, because the Cardinals do have players of value to move around who could be more valuable to other teams because they just don't fit properly with this roster. As far as guys who I think have probably cemented themselves, so let's put it that way. Let's talk about guys who have cemented themselves in a role, whether that's going to turn out to be with the Cardinals or elsewhere. The two names who come to mind to me are Matthew Liberatore, who was probably already pretty much cemented or at least written in pencil. I think he's written in pen now as like a middle of the rotation type of major league starter. I think it's very likely that's going to be with the Cardinals for the foreseeable future. The second guy would be Michael McGreevy to me. I know he didn't pitch, you know, has had some ups and downs, but I think he's clearly done enough that you feel good about him as, you know, worst case, your number five, or worst case for him, I guess, your number five starter going into next year, again, at his age, at his cost profile. So those are the two guys I feel confident in saying are now, especially McGreevy, have now done enough to me that they're on the Cardinals roster going into next year, unless for some reason they were traded. And I think those guys, compared to some of the position players, are unlikely to be traded just because the Cardinals don't have the same kind of logjam in the rotation that they do in some positions in the field.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me jump in here before Wheels responds. You guys also had a pretty lengthy discussion about Sonny Gray being traded.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Given what Nate was just saying about the starting rotation, let's pick that up.
Yeah, so it's not about wanting to move Sonny Gray, right? It's about whether or not that makes the most sense given where you expect to be, considering that he's going to make $35 million next year, that he's going to be 36 years old in November, and that you may be doing this again. Which means maybe he's interested in going to a contender where he wasn't a year ago. Right? This is not about wanting to get rid of Sonny Gray. This is about if other teams come to you with really good offers that can play in a longer-term setting, do you want to listen to it? I think you kind of have to. And it's really back to the point where it's up to Sonny, right? If Sonny wants to be in St. Louis, he's going to be here. He's got a no-trade clause. He's not going anywhere. If he's open to a contender or at least a more pressing contender, right? Because the Cardinals will go into next year with the idea that they want to be good, but they're not going to necessarily know that up front. It's going to be a lot like this year in terms of still sorting a few things out. As you mentioned, Nate, there are going to be a lot of changes. There have to be, just by numbers. Just to make the pieces of the puzzle fit, you're going to have to move some out. You've got to make room for J.J. Weatherholt. You have to clear up the redundancies on offense. You got too many left-handed hitters that are basically primary DHs. And then on the opposite end of that, you have too many guys that are glove-only guys. So you got to find a little bit more of a balance with how your roster is going to work together. But if somebody comes to you with an offer that's going to benefit you for the next 5 years, but it makes you a little worse for next year, and that involves Sonny Gray, I mean, you probably have to listen to it. You don't have to do it, but you got to listen to it.
Yeah, my feeling is that probably Heim Bloom has to listen to almost every call that he gets just because of where the roster is. I think this is going to be a creative offseason. Again, I've said it a few times. If I were him, I think I'd be pretty excited because he's taking over a franchise that is going to give him a longer leash than ordinarily you would get just because of where things are. That's not to say fans are going to be pumped up automatically about Heim Bloom, but I think there's going to be a period of time where he gets to kind of settle in and figure things out. And he's already had that in almost a year to fully prepare himself here for how this offseason is going to go. And he has a roster with pieces he can move around. So I think there are, if I were him, I would be pretty excited about where this is, even though it's going to take some work and there is a significant amount of uncertainty about what, you know, next year and the year after are going to look like. Because again, you know, to your point, Wheels, I think a lot of how next year looks for the Cardinals is sort of out of the Cardinals' hands to a certain degree. If I were Heim Bloom this offseason, I'm thinking I've got to make moves to make the numbers work, and I need to get the best value that I can in those deals. And if the best value I can get is I'm going to move a couple of younger guys, you know, in their 20s who don't fit as well on our roster, and I'm going to bring in a couple of guys, you know, closer to their primes, you know, or even maybe I don't think they'd go for guys, you know, in the back stages of their careers, but who knows? And, you know, we're going to make a run at trying to win the division this year. I think there'd be some merit to that, especially because the Cardinals could really do with an infusion of interest in this market, an infusion of optimism and excitement in this market. But to your point, and what's probably more likely, if they're shopping around and the offers they're getting, the best value offers they're getting, involve moving on from some established guys, like most notably a Sonny Gray, and getting back some guys who are going to be more in the Weatherholt age range and are going to prepare the Cardinals for a window that's more like 3 years from now, I think that's fine too. That's probably the more likely outcome. So I would be going in very open-minded if I were Heim Bloom, I guess is what I'm saying. And I think if you're somebody, you know, I imagine if you're somebody who has the training that he has and the expertise that he has, that's the kind of opportunity that you crave, is to come into a space where the canvas is relatively blank, or at least you can make it blank by moving some pieces around, and you have the freedom to kind of choose the direction based on maximizing value rather than being handcuffed by some preset timeline that you didn't control the way you might if you're taking over, well, frankly, if you're taking over a team like the Red Sox the way you did before, where the pressures are just a little bit different, and so you have your some elements of strategy are out of your control. I think he could choose almost any strategic path this offseason, and he would get at least provisional backing from ownership and maybe even from the fan base for a year or two, as long as the value is good.
Nate, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Dave.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.